Welcome everyone to Decoding Destiny, Soundbites from the C-Suite. Join me every week as I capture strategies from incredibly successful women and share these soundbites to help you decode challenges and map your own destiny. Follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. On today's episode, I'm meeting with Eileen Landon and discussing imposter syndrome and confidence. We'll be giving you advice on how to find your swagger. Eileen is the SVP of Global Professional Services and Delivery at HireVue, the market leader in video interviewing and assessments, providing an end-to-end hiring experience platform that allows companies to build a faster, fairer, and friendlier hiring process. She has spent her career running large professional services organizations, helping to build, grow, and transform them to ensure customer success and delivery excellence. She's an empathetic leader, coach, and mentor who's passionate about helping other women find their swagger to succeed. Welcome, Eileen.
Thanks for having me.
So Eileen, maybe you could give us a little more color on your background versus the little snippet that I gave in the intro.
Yeah, sure. I actually started out, got my master's in chemical engineering. So I was a math science nerd growing up, really enjoyed the problem solving aspect of it, but spent a lot of time sitting in labs by myself and it wasn't really for me. The piece I really enjoyed was getting in front of people and presenting my results and doing some of the analysis. So I got my master's, I was on a PhD track. I ended up leaving after my master's and not knowing any better, being young and inexperienced, I took a risk and decided to go into consulting. And I was fortunate enough to find a startup that was willing to give me a chance when I knew nothing. I started as a DBA, became a developer, very quickly learned that my skill set was more on the business analysis and project management side. So started to really move around in essentially software companies from business analyst to project management into management and ultimately found my way into managing teams. So I've been in this career for a while. I've been fortunate enough to have some good luck in terms of some career decisions that I made. And really now focus on helping other, especially other women, but people who I lead through my team find the best career path for them.
That's great. So on the topic that we're going to be discussing today, what does imposter syndrome mean? And how does it relate to that concept of confidence versus competence?
So imposter syndrome is defined as doubting your own abilities and feeling like a fraud. And it tends to disproportionately affect high achievers who often find it difficult to accept even their own accomplishments and they tend to be perfectionists. I'll give you an example of this. I actually specifically used some words when I gave you my background. I said I was fortunate enough to have made certain career decisions, that I had some good luck in my career path. Those are all examples of imposter syndrome, because we all think these things happen to us and that we don't impact those things. And I find a lot of women actually use those words, and you'll find that men don't always use them. And I know that's kind of a generalization, but basically that defines imposter syndrome is we tend to think things happen to us and not as a result of our abilities.
So you bring up a good point. How does a woman's upbringing maybe contribute to this?
Yeah, so statistics show that compared to men, women often consider themselves less ready for promotions. They tend to predict they're going to do less well on tests. They tend to underestimate their ability. And typically success is often correlated with confidence as much as competence. So women tend to lack this confidence. And there's actually been a study, HP did a study that showed that women are only likely to apply to a job opening if they meet 100% of the qualifications, whereas men only if they meet 60. So the men tend to be able to extrapolate what they've experienced into something that they have a potential to do, whereas women are less likely to do that. Women tend to see competence as, I've done this successfully before. And often we don't see a new challenge as something we can handle, even given the confluences of our experience together that comprise the base from which we can draw to increase our swagger and our confidence. And this tends to happen because of, if you think about how we grow up, there's a woman, her name is Reshma Saujani. She's the founder of Girls Who Code. It's a great organization. And she did a TED talk that talked about this, the fact that girls are often taught to avoid risk and failure, and boys are taught to play rough. They're taught to, you know, jump off the monkey bars and really take risks. And they're habituated to take risks and rewarded for that. Whereas women, as girls, we're tended to be safer and not necessarily brave. And if you look at playgrounds, and there's a study done across the world that girls tend to play in smaller groups and they tend to talk one-on-one and they're very talk oriented, whereas boys tend to play in larger groups and they're more activity oriented. And they tend to tell other boys what to do, and that's how they sort of stake their claim in their friend group. Whereas girls, if they tell other girls what to do, they're considered bossy. So, you know, we've always, as we're growing up, girls are sort of taught to be safe and not necessarily to be brave and take chances, whereas boys are taught more to take chances. So as a result, that sort of filters into our work lives. And we have the added fun of really being careful about how we're perceived in the workplace, because if we get too assertive, we might be considered bossy. So that again kind of brings us back to the playground to say, well, we just want to be kind of safe and not take those risks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as a woman myself, I mean, I've struggled with that very much in my career and even in certain aspects of my personal life, because I think it's not that I don't feel that I have the competence to do something maybe different or outside of the norm, or maybe I fit 60% of the characteristics of a particular job. I think it's that fear that, you know, how will I explain it? How will I convince the other person? And if you're not convinced yourself, I think it's really difficult to portray that confidence outside to the outside world.
Yeah, and a lot of it really is internal. It's about convincing yourself that it's okay not to know everything. If you walk into a conference room, you can tell who's leading the conversation just from the body language. And a lot of it is just, if you walk in and you're afraid of what someone else is going to think you're saying, I think as women, we often internalize that emotion a lot more, whereas men feel it, but they don't let it sort of get to them. Sure. So being able to walk into a room and say, I'm going to make this decision, or I'm going to have this opinion, and it's okay. And it's okay if I'm not entirely right, or if people disagree with me, or if I miss the mark, but I've at least made the effort. Because it's that action that turns into confidence and that turns into growth. If you don't take that action, then no one knows you have those thoughts. And that's why it's harder to get ahead.
That makes a lot of sense. What sort of challenges does this confidence gap pose to mid-career women?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a struggle, because when you're mid-career, you want to take your next step. So you don't want to fail. You take assignments that will set you up for success. And I've had people on my team tell me that. And I've actually said that to people on my team, that we want to give you assignments that are going to set you up for success. But you have to be careful about that, because oftentimes that means that you're not taking the risks or being brave enough to do something that's a little bit outside your comfort zone, with a fear that you might do something wrong. And that's actually where we learn the most. So, you know, if you have a good leader working with you, that person will see that in you and will help bring that out. So I have an example. There were a few people, and this was recently on my team, where we had a project that we needed to assign that was incredibly complicated. It was a new product. It's a challenging technology. So you really didn't know what you didn't know. And was asking a woman to take the lead on the project. And one of them said, nope, you're going to throw me under the bus. I don't feel comfortable. I'm worried I'm not going to be set up for success because no one's ever done this before. The other one said, I really want to try this, but I'm very afraid it's going to hurt my reputation as a company. I'm very worried that I'm going to fail. And I don't know that I want to take this on, but it's kind of interesting. And what I told her is, it's okay to be comfortably uncomfortable, because that's really where we learn. And that's where we have a chance to thrive. And that comes back to this idea of swagger, which is, you know what, I'm going to do this. And if I screw it up in certain places, that's okay, because I'm going to learn from that. And I'm going to recover from that. And it's not going to hurt my reputation because now my name's going to be out there that I took this risk. And the other part of it is she had the full support of me and of her manager, so that she wasn't going into it completely blindly. We were helping her succeed. We weren't going to do the work for her, but we were there. Her manager was sitting in meetings with her, was coaching her along. And ultimately, the project was so successful. And you can actually see her bloom and her confidence really bloom as a result of this project. And it was really great to see. So I think, you know, as a leader, we have an obligation to find these women. Oftentimes, they're the quiet ones, the quiet, thoughtful ones that don't really speak up. And we need to ask them questions. I'm wondering if you have a point of view. And you can do it on a one-on-one basis and really help them find themselves and support them, but challenge them and know that it's okay to not get everything right, to make some mistakes, because you're going to learn from it and you're going to pick up and start again. I had another person on my team who was very strong, and she was running a project, and the project went horribly wrong. Some of it was things we had control over, as sometimes it happens. It's, you know, a confluence of a million things that happen where there were things that we did wrong, there were things the customer did wrong. Sometimes things just happen. She lost all confidence. She was miserable, felt like a failure. And I just said, look, it's okay. Beat yourself up. Go sit in the corner. Do what you need to do for a couple hours. Then come out of it and let's talk about how we're going to make it right. And let's start over again and let's understand how are we going to recover. And she's one of the strongest people in the company right now because she went through that process. A lot of what I've been successful at later in my career is a result of horrible failures earlier in my career. And they were miserable at the time and I beat myself up over them and I felt like an imposter. But looking forward now at who I've become in my career, most of the positive things that I can do today, I can attribute to the fact that I had these horrible failures early in my career and I learned from them.
I think it's very important for leaders and managers to understand that because when you look at very successful people, most of them say that the reason they're where they're at is because they learned from so many of the failures that they went through in their life and their career. And it's so true. I mean, you take a success, let's just say you do something and it's successful, you know, you're riding that wave, you just keep going. You don't take the time to really look at it deeper. Whereas when you fail, you're really dissecting that and being like, what did I do? What could I have done better? And you're learning from it. So I think it's critical that leaders, you know, don't beat their team up for not being perfect and not always being successful because it's life. And I think that that could, like you said, with the example of the second girl that you were managing, it could make them so much stronger and so much better, you know, for a company, for, you know, for themselves too.
Yeah, it really is sometimes an attitude, just an attitude change, as it's not a competence situation because usually the person has it in them, particularly because this tends to happen with high achievers, super self-aware of any negative. So, I mean, I am super self-aware of all the things I know I do wrong every day. And I'm sure we all find ourselves waking up at 4 a.m, replaying conversations we've had to say, I should have said something differently. What is this person going to think? And sometimes I'll talk to my husband about this and he's like, why are you even worrying about that? And that's just kind of what we do. And we worry when we're not worried about something, right? I mean, that's sort of the nature of if you're a high achiever, and that's why we succeed. I think that the feeling that you're not quite there ever is what makes us, what gives us that drive to be successful. And for those who overcome it, it's that understanding of suck it up, get over it. This is how you feel. It's okay. It's what's propelling you. And then just move ahead. And I think, you know, the idea that super confident people have all the answers is absolutely false. Confident people don't have all the answers, but they're decisive when they need to be. And they live with the consequences if they do something wrong. And, you know, I think about myself as a leader, and that's how I try to drive my team to know that failure is okay. as long as you're challenging yourself. And if you're going to challenge yourself, let us know if there's something you're uncomfortable with, and we'll make sure that you have the support. And if something goes wrong, we're not going to point the finger at you. We're going to understand, let's figure out what happened and why, what we can learn from it, and how we can be better because of it, and help people feel that sense of support and comfort, because you can't get out of this mode of not being comfortable with something unless you're willing to get uncomfortable and take that chance and you feel protected by your leadership. And if you're not getting that from your leader, then the trick is to try to find an advocate or a cheerleader, and not necessarily a coach, but someone you can go to say, I'm really nervous about doing this thing. Can I talk you through it? Can I tell you what I'm worried about? And have somebody be able to say, you've got this, you can do it. Let's talk about all the ways this could go wrong. What's the worst that could happen? Yeah. Well, I might screw up this tiny piece. Okay, so if that happens, what are you gonna do? How do you handle it? And just kind of build the person up and get them comfortable with the little failures they might encounter. And just, I think it's changing the attitude in your brain to say, it's okay if I don't do this perfectly, but I'm gonna take a shot at it. And when you're done, you'll feel so much better, and it will increase your confidence. It'll increase your swagger. So the next time, you're willing to take more risks.
That's so true. How does someone go about navigating through this kind of this imposter syndrome?
First of all, understand that you're probably an overachiever and a perfectionist, which means you're probably already there. And it's probably just an attitude thing. If you are one of those kind of introvert, quiet people, sometimes it's harder because you feel less comfortable speaking out. But, you know, I think to get over it, it's first an understanding, a self-awareness. What I'm feeling is a lack of confidence. This is a sign of imposter syndrome. That must mean I'm pretty good at what I do because I'm struggling with some of the little things. So the next thing you want to do, if you have a leader or a mentor or somebody that you really trust, hopefully it's your manager or somebody, you know, who can really help you within your line of business, let them know, you know, I'm struggling with my confidence. I'm really interested in getting farther in my career. I'm interested in taking some risks, but I don't want to let you down. I don't want to let the company down, and I don't want to fail. How can you help me succeed at something I really want to stretch? Because sometimes it's hard to tell whether the person's just comfortable doing what they're doing, which is perfectly fine, or whether you're feeling this internally, because sometimes it's hard to tell. So you as an individual need to speak up, acknowledge that you're feeling this, and hopefully you can go to your manager. If that's a challenge, find someone else, whether it's in your company, whether it's outside the company, that can be your advocate that you can talk through these things with. That's helpful as well. But it really starts with just admitting it and understanding where it's coming from and finding a safe place where you can sort of complain or talk through it or just sort of get through those trouble areas and then be okay with failure. So if it helps, think about all the different failure modes you might encounter in your challenge and work through how you will resolve those. And I mean, I've found that My scar tissue has gotten so much stronger over the years as you fail more and as you learn more, that you become willing to take more risks and ultimately you can get yourself out of it. I doubt my decisions every day still, and I'm sure you do too. I mean, we all find ourselves in that situation, but I think as we get more experienced and like, especially as an executive at the company I'm in today, there are many times I'm sitting around the table with my peers thinking, do I really belong here? And then I have to cut that down and say, yes, I am here for a reason. I'm contributing, I'm providing value. And these are the areas where I'm doing that. And just sort of kind of get yourself out of that mode. It's a lot about perception and kind of banking that confidence when something does go well to think, that's one for me, that's score on the good side for me. So I'm okay now if I do something that's not exactly perfect because I'm gonna learn from it.
Well, I'm naturally an extrovert. And so I tend to give off confidence, even when inside I'm feeling completely not confident. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with me, it's a little bit more about being scared to show vulnerability, that I may not be as confident on something. And also feeling that I'm gonna disappoint, because people are expecting that because I am confident that I am going to do this perfectly. So it's almost like, you know, sometimes even when you are coming off as confident, you still feel the imposter syndrome for sure. But there's this added weight too, I think, of, oh my gosh, they're expecting me to be they're expecting me to succeed because of the confidence. So I can't really show my vulnerability that I'm not as confident, which you totally can. I've learned that in life. But at the time, it's really hard to juggle the two, because you're like, I want to tell people that this isn't going to be so easy for me. But at the same time, is it going to destroy that image of confidence that I'm portraying to the world? So I think no matter what your personality is, you struggle with it in a different way. But at the core, we're all just so shaky in terms of being confident in ourselves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a really interesting point that you made, because it is true. A lot of times we see people project confidence and we think, well, why can't I feel that way? And meanwhile, that person is screaming inside their head too, but they're not necessarily showing it. And vulnerability is a really good, that's a really good point too, because I know one of the big failures I had early in my career is my first role as a leader or as a manager. I thought, well, I'm a manager now. I need to assert myself and tell people what to do. And I didn't realize at the time that leadership is so much more than that. It's really about listening and understanding and helping others be successful. And so I was projecting confidence that I didn't have. I had no clue what I was doing, but I thought that's what I was supposed to do. So I think the fact that we see others portray confidence, particularly, you know, super well-spoken, extroverted people that have high charisma, and we see these people and we think, I'm not that person. How am I ever going to be that person? And we don't understand that that person is feeling the same thing. They're just not outwardly projecting it. And I think as leaders, sometimes it's good to let that guard down as well. And I've had times with my team where I've said, look, guys, this has been a really hard time. You know, I'm personally struggling. There have been some challenges. Here's what we're going to do to overcome it. And it can help the team feel that they're not in it alone, and to say that it's okay. Like, to your point, if you know people are counting on you and they're used to you making good decisions and being confident, sometimes it's okay to say, you know what, guys, I'm not entirely sure about this. I think this is the right approach, but you know, I would love to get your input on it. I really think this is what we should do, but I'm not, you know, it's okay to express a little bit of that doubt. As long as you don't take it so far to say, I'm going to doubt every decision I'm making and project that. Because sometimes you do need to pretend that you're more sure than you really are inside. And it often works out in the end.
So I had taken on a leadership role that in some aspects I was, you know, within the team that I was managing, some aspects I was very confident and very sure of what I needed to do. But there were a lot of new elements to this role that I had no idea how I was going to learn and manage a team. And it was my first lesson really in the vulnerability aspect of this, that I can still be confident, but I did exactly what you said, is I sat with the team and I was like, listen, I'm going to be really honest. I have to learn probably more so than even you, so that I can lead effectively. And so there's going to be a lot of like moments where I'm going to be depending on you. Like, you know, each person was an expert in a particular area. And I was just open about it, because I think there's nothing worse than the fake it till you make it, because people see right through the faking it. And so I was like, you know, that's just going to completely destroy my reputation with these people. And I need us to be a team. So it was scary to admit, to have that open conversation, especially for someone who, you know, wanted to portray that confidence and to give the team that security. But at the same time, I think it's what made us a stronger team and what made us really perform better than most of the other teams in the company. So I think that vulnerability actually helped bolster the team as a whole.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, from a leadership perspective, I've been in similar situations. I'm sure a lot of us have been, where that's how you earn trust of your team, because you say, you're very clear on where your strengths are, what you know and what you don't know. And a lot of the times our teams, I mean, when I started at HireVue, I had no idea what to expect when I came into my team. And they were an extremely strong team, but they weren't aware of it. And it just took a little bit of reinforcement of what you're doing is important, what you're doing has value, you're really good at what you do. I'm really good at this aspect, I'm not really good at this aspect, I'd love to get your input on it, kind of like what you just talked about. And I think you do develop trust with your team, and then they feel more comfortable coming to you and saying, I love that you said you didn't know how to do this piece and we were able to help you with that, here's where I need help. And then it becomes a little easier for them to open up. And if you have a manager who's not feeling that empathy, depending on the personality, you can often try to approach that person to say, you seem like you always have all the answers. I would love to understand what you struggle with every day, because here are the things that I struggle with. And, you know, as a mid-career person, kind of try to take advantage of that to humanize the people around you who you think might not be human, to understand where they're coming from. And I think what you did shows, again, a level of emotional IQ to say, this is what I need to do for my team, and I'll earn their trust, but I'm also being very honest and transparent. And to me, that's a sign of a good leader. A good leader isn't always confident, doesn't always have the answers. A good leader is comfortable admitting when they don't know something and knowing that their team is often smarter than they are and often has a lot of the answers.
Well, a good leader actually knows that they don't know everything. That's a right. good leader, because when you think you do know everything, to me, that's not a good leader. And I think one of the after effects of that kind of a relationship between within the team is that the team members, I think, started building their own confidence in trying new things as maybe kind of like side projects to see if they could do it as, you know, and in addition to what they were doing, and growing their own like repertoire of knowledge and experience. And it was beautiful to see, because it just kind of let people feel like they could pursue their passion more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, getting back to the idea of confidence and imposter syndrome, those who are overly confident and feel like they know everything are the ones that often have the lower competence, because they're just not aware of what they don't know. There is one of our advisors at HireVue, and he's written some really great articles. Tomas Chamorro Premusich, I hope I pronounced his name right. He wrote a book called Why Do So Many Incompetent Men Become Leaders? And I don't want to categorize all men in this way, because I've had some really amazing managers and leaders, and I work with some amazing men who are leaders today. But if we're talking generalizations about how men and women see the workplace, men tend to have this overconfidence. And that confidence correlates to charisma, which is often inadvertently correlated to competence. And it's not always the case. But that's what people are used to. They're used to that sort of charismatic person who's making these decisions and who, you know, has that executive presence, but may not necessarily have any of the backing behind it. And I think, you know, for women, it tends to be the opposite, where we actually have that confidence, but we're not really sure of it. We're always unsure. We don't always convey that. Charisma, I think, for women's a little harder, because you have to walk that line between assertiveness and being too aggressive and all the kind of baggage that goes with that. And then just the insecurity that we tend to not be recognized, because we don't just show up in the room as that charismatic person. And he's written a lot of articles about this. And I think, again, it's a generalization, but generally speaking, I think men tend to not let it get to them quite as much. I'm sure they have the same thoughts in their head, but they don't let it get to them as much.
Yeah, for sure. So Eileen, knowing what you know today, what would be advice that you would give to your younger self if you could?
Oh, that's a good question. You're stronger than you think. Be okay taking risks. It's okay to fail, and you got this. You know more than you think you do, and snap out of it. I think I find myself saying that a lot these days as well. I think we all do sometimes where to acknowledge, right? You just have to acknowledge you've got the background, you've got the experience. It's okay. You'll get through it. Don't lose your swagger.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Eileen. This was really great. I think we got some great advice and tips on how to overcome our own imposter syndrome and how to find our swagger. So thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me.